It's a situation that doesn't have a right response.
Oh.
Well, okay, we know this isn't the right response.
Okay.
But you would understand why parents may feel pressure to do something they wouldn't normally do if this were to happen. One man found out how badly it can end when you decide a tag team fight is the way to go with your kid.
This'll solve it.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. We'll jump right into it. Story comes from the city of Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
And it began with, and I'll quote the story from 10NBC, two children fighting.
Right.
At some point, according to police, two adults got involved. And that's when the situation escalated. Authorities say a 19-year-old man was stabbed
Jesus.
By a 34-year-old man during the altercation.
Wow.
So it starts with two little ones fighting. Mm-hmm. Now a 34-year-old man is allegedly stabbing people. The victim was taken to the hospital. No one else was hurt. 34-year-old man was arrested, you know, on account of
these therapy, but we're all dead.
And there's no word on what charges the 34-year-old is facing. So this is one of those stories that is a lot more complicated than it seems on the surface. Because no grown-ass people should ever fight, get involved in a fight with their kids fighting, right? The thing to do is to break up the fight and get out of there.
Yeah.
And then from that point, you determine what the punishment's going to be for your kid.
Mm.
But Tommy, when things get physical and kids are involved, it's not that simple.
No.
You got two kids here, but you're only responsible for one of those kids.
Mm-hmm.
Some adults will have feelings toward that other kid that was fighting your kid. Some may say something.
Mm-hmm.
Some may get physical when trying to break the stuff up. And if a parent of that kid sees that go down,
then we're off to the races.
We got a problem, baby.
Yeah.
Kid fights even with one parent that doesn't want to back down or understand how out of control the situation can get super scary in ways you don't see coming. The phone number is 252-WCMF, 252-9263. What is the right way to end a fight your kid is in with another kid?
But every fight's different, right? And every situation is different. So you can't even prepare for it. And you don't know how that other parent's going to react to you physically trying to separate two kids.
Okay, so maybe that's the wrong way to do it.
But how else do you do it? If they're mauling each other, how do you get in there and break this up?
Hey! Cut it out!
Yeah, because if
that should work.
And if you are the parent watching another parent jump in, you're gonna think that parent's defending their kid. My kid needs some backup here, or my kid needs, you know, like I'm gonna step in and defend my kid's side.
Yeah. What do you do then? I mean, how do you ensure that something like this doesn't get out of control? Because I know there are parents listening that have stumbled upon this situation. And I also know, just based on statistics, there are parents listening that ended up in a kerfuffle with another parent because their kid and that other kid started going at it together.
Because I'm guessing by the time you realize there's something going on, it's already too late.
Okay.
They're already mixing it up.
Okay.
I mean, unless you catch it at its beginning, which is probably pretty rare, you're going to come in mid-bite.
Yeah.
So which means now you got to like physically get in there and pull these two kids apart.
Unless you just let them go.
Okay, but let's say the other parent doesn't want to let, one of the parents is not going to let it go. Odds are, right?
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Okay. So now somebody's got their hands on your kid just trying to separate them, as I almost separated myself from the microphone. It's a disaster, man.
Look, I mean, I think
I didn't see nothing.
I think the best case. Wait, you're gonna pretend you don't see your kid fighting another kid?
Okay, first of all, let's say I'm a grandparent, right?
Yeah.
And let's say my wife and I are watching the kids, and they're of fighting age.
Okay.
9, 10 years old, all that stuff.
Sure, sure, sure.
Let's say the kids start mixing up. My wife's going in.
Yeah.
She's going in, and she's gonna protect our grandchild.
Okay.
Period.
Let's put a pause in the story. Do you think she would be protecting her grandchild, or she would be so furious with her grandchild for fighting that that kid's going to catch the wrath of
her? It might be mixed emotions, but let's just say in the scenario, we're at the park or something, and somebody else goes over to separate the boys, right? And he puts his hands on her grandchild.
I know.
Bro,
I know.
I'm going to be in the back of a squad car. Because I know.
For your own protection?
I'm going to call the police. Because I know she ain't going to mess. I mean, the horns are going to, and the fangs are going to come out, and it's going to get ugly.
Because, like, here's what sucks.
And there's nothing I can say.
And that's just it. Here's what sucks about the scenario. Kids will fight. I mean, it's a part of being kids, right? And I don't look at a kid that gets in a fight, a little fight with another kid, as like a bad
kid. It's a rough up.
Right? But you also can't stand back and just let it happen. It's a really bad look. If you look out your window and you see the other parent, arms crossed at the end of the driveway, like watching Fight Club happen, right? But again, you're right. If you do anything to insert yourself in this situation, you are now risking escalating the situation, like what happened here, where a 34-year-old man stabs another adult because a kid fight started, right? So is there no way to handle this the right way?
I don't think so.
Do you have to negotiate with the other parent before you get in and break up this fight?
But, like, it's going down so fast.
You don't even have time to think about it.
Right. It's, you know, it goes so fast.
I think the only thing you can do to keep things from going bad is scream at your kid and only your kid to get the hell out of there, or there's going to be serious consequences.
But is your kid, I mean, if you scream at your kid and they're just completely in the zone.
Yeah, I know.
And
I
then
know
you're traumatizing your kid. And then, like, I couldn't, if I walked over and started screaming at our grandchild, now my wife's pissed off at me because I'm being mean to the little one.
I think that's appropriate if the kid's fighting and screaming.
Yeah, I mean, this is just a desperate situation.
Like, I'm telling you, man.
Your wife would be screaming a lot. I mean, if she was there, too, she would also be panicking. She may not even be paying attention to what you're doing.
But if I'm yelling, like, to stop fighting, she's going to be mad at me with my tone.
No, you have this weird image that you can do no right as a step-grandfather. And I'm telling you, you're wrong. It's the appropriate response is to yell at the kid.
Just because it's the appropriate response doesn't mean you could get hung for doing the right thing.
252 WCMF. This conversation started a story in the city of Rochester. Two kids fighting is how it starts. It ends with a 19-year-old and a 34-year-old man getting involved with each other over this fight. The 34-year-old man allegedly stabbed the 19-year-old. Also not what I saw coming. I would think if there's a stabbing in this story, the 34-year-old would be the one getting stabbed. It sounds like the 19-year-old's going to be okay. 34-year-old was arrested. But again, like, when you stumble upon your kid, two kids, a kid you're responsible for, fighting with somebody else, what do you do? Anthony's on CMF. Hey, Tony. Oh, hey, brother.
Hey, what's up, bud? What How up? You guys doing?
Good, man. What's
good,
up?
Good.
The only thing that you could possibly do is you just take your kid, just run in there, grab your kid, throw him under your arm, and get him out of the situation. Like, if your car was nearby, just open up the car, throw him in there, and lock it.
Okay.
You know?
Now, that Anthony.
Is it when Reagan got shot? Shove him in there.
Now, Anthony,
that's all you can do. You just got to abstract him from the situation.
Okay, so Anthony, that sounds great if you got like an 8 to 11-year-old kid that you can one-arm and yank out of
there. If you could overpower the kid.
14-year-old kid.
Yeah, 14, that's 15, 16-year-old. I mean, I was 250 at 14.
Oh, yeah, you were a two-man job.
Anthony, like, I mean, if you insert yourself in that situation trying to pull your kid away and you catch a stray from the other kid, do you have the self-control to be like, well, that was an accident. Yeah. I'm going to continue to do what I was doing here.
Yeah, I would just continue to do what I was doing. I mean, how hard could it put? I mean, I can take a punch.
Okay.
I'd be fine.
Okay.
I mean, I put myself in that situation. You know, if you're going to put yourself in that situation where you got to do that, you got to be accepting to take a hit by accident. You know?
All right,
happens.
All right, Anthony, let me ask you this question. Let's say you got another parent. You don't know who the parent is, whatever. The kids are fighting. They're trying to separate their kid from your kid. He swings to, like, you know, flail his body to pull the kid away, and he accidentally elbows your kid in the face. Do you understand that, or now do you have an issue?
Oh, you mean if the other parent elbowed my kid in the face?
He was just trying to get his kid away, but your kid is now, he's got a big cut over his eyebrow. It's like the 10th round of a boxing match, and I got hit in the face. It was an accident, but there was contact made, Anthony.
I mean, I could say I wouldn't do anything, but in the heat of the moment, if I see my kid bleeding and an adult did that to me, I don't know.
Okay.
I can't tell you what I would do.
Not so easy anymore, Mr. Answers, is it?
Well, you didn't put that in before. That was an extenuating circumstance.
Anthony.
And one more thing.
Yeah.
I'm a little upset, Pat. You forgot to tell Tommy about our kiosk in the men's room.
Which one's that?
You know, the one we just opened in the men's room.
Yeah. What's it
Uncle
called?
Pat and Aunt. It's called Uncle Pat and Anthony's. Bend over and open your mouth. Here comes a double corn surprise.
Sauce.
Oh, you're talking about our tag. You're talking about our tag team kiosk at Adventure Mandy. Thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day. Andy and I are going to sodomize in the bedroom, apparently.
I would say this: if they were like 13-year-old boys fighting, let them bite.
No, that's the most dangerous fight.
Like, whatever.
It would be tough though if you saw your kid getting beat up. I mean, you're picturing a fair fight. You don't know if it's going to go that way.
I was going to say it's just a push around.
What's up? Okay, is that, you know, 1950s like, really term for something? Hey, want to go outside and have a push around? Like
you're doing more hugging and dancing. I'm sorry.
No, they're like got their fists up, like dancing.
Like to your point, those kids are 160 pounds, and you're trying to get in there and break up two kids that are fighting.
I do find it funny that he thought 160 pounds was a lot of pounds.
What a 13-year-old that should be.
That's a big kid.
You're a full 160 pounds!
Well, what does that 13-year-old weigh?
Boy, why?
Well, that you're saying I'm light.
You've ever seen.
You're telling me there's 200-pound 13-year-olds?
What is that 13-year-old weigh?
Pardon me, boy, get on that scale. Take
yes,
off your
sir.
Shirt.
No, sir.
I will say, like, as a kid, of the fights I witnessed between, you know, kids fighting at school or on the play, wherever they were fighting, no adult ever, like, successfully broke up a fight in one try. You know what I mean? Like, there always had to be another adult that got involved, or like somebody else had to step in. Like, no adult knew what to do right away whenever that broke out.
Yeah, because I was in military school, they didn't break them up.
Oh, they let them go?
They used to say, well, when you get done, clean this up.
Oh.
Like, they didn't get involved. They just figured let these kids beat the hell out of each other and burn out.
It's so dangerous, man. It is so dangerous.
Yeah, it is.
You don't know who goes down, who hits their head where. You can blind somebody by accident. I mean, all these things can happen.
I know.
Like, you know, we sit here and we talk about innocent teenage fights, and I guess most of them end up that way. But you don't know. I mean, crazy things can happen, man.
Accidents, for sure.
And if I'm standing there, Elvis Costello, and I'm watching this happen, and somebody goes down, and something bad happens, now I'm on the hook.
So what do you do if your wife jumps in before you?
Oh, I don't want that.
And now you got to get your wife out of there and the kid out of there.
All right, if my wife is in the situation, all right, here's my first goal. All right, here's what I'm doing. All right, my daughters, ooh, it's a girl fight too, which is not good. So let's say my 14-year-old, who I can absolutely see doing this, gets in a fight with some other girl, right? And they're outside, my wife sees it, and I'm out with my wife. Mm. My first job is to prevent my wife from getting into that scrum. And that is my A number one job. I am playing left tackle pass protector, keeping my wife. I'm stepping with the left hand, and I'm keeping her away. After I've defused that, then I'm going in. But now that it's also be a girl-on-girl fight.
Yeah, that's tricky.
But my wife will also be...
They're going to lock hair.
My wife's going to be pissed off that I stopped her from intervening.
I understand. I'll deal with that later.
But that's another fight.
I don't want my wife in the heat of the moment.
I know.
To do something to another girl.
I know. Or just a kid.
That's what I mean. And my wife's not a violent person, but I don't know how
my
she's going to react.
My wife isn't until the kids are involved.
That's what I mean. So
I don't want to know if she's gotten that person I haven't seen. She pulls out one of those telescopic nightsticks, goes in swinging, like she's breaking up a soccer riot.
We got Facebook messages coming in. You can always get us at WCMF for the Break Room Facebook page. This comes in from Dave. Dave says, Duffy, you're a hockey parent. Shouldn't you be okay with fighting? Let the kids fight it out. Everything will be okay. All right.
Well, a hockey fight's a little bit different than a spontaneous park fight.
It is, but even that gets uncomfortable.
I'm sure.
So my daughter last year in a tournament in Pittsburgh got in her first like little fight. Mm-hmm. And she didn't start it. I sound like every parent in the whole world, right?
Well, it wasn't her fault.
No, but the girl like sucker punched her three times.
Jesus.
And like Stella got a couple in, and I was actually, like, I had to be like, Dad, like, don't you do that, right? That's not how we play hockey. But I was proud that she took the shots and was able to get back in there. But like, it was at the end of this game, and it was a close game, and they were holding on, and it was already tense. And the girl's parents, the girl who threw the first couple of punches, was like, oh, you got to win it! Like, they're pissed off at my kid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm not the type, you know, to say anything.
Yeah.
And thank God my wife did not make that trip to Pittsburgh with us.
Yeah.
I just sat there. Shrunk down a little bit and let everything play itself out. Mm-hmm. I could see my wife in that situation. Well, why don't you tell your child to take my child first?
Because
like even in that controlled environment where there's a referee to step in and break everything up, right? That could have got bad. Yeah. And I think every sports parent, whether it's soccer or hockey or football, has seen fight on the field happens. Everything gets taken care of. It's the fight in the stands.
Yes.
Afterwards, it's a bigger problem.
And I'm always amazed at the people that I always thought were like pretty calm and cool that flip the F out.
Brings out the word. It's just a it's just a recipe for disaster. I think it brings out the worst in even the most calm, rational individual.
Hey, man, it's like I always say, youth sports would be awesome if it weren't for the parents.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt, sell it in the rock shop.
Nobody's buying it.
You're right. Rochester loves its celebrities.
Oh, yeah.
Anything in town with someone famous will bring people out.
It's pretty cool.
And let's not forget when people lined up to get Kelsey Grammer's autograph on his beer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say that again. When people in Rochester lined up so Kelsey Grammer could autograph his beer for you.
Pretty cool.
There is a movie star coming soon.
Oh.
And events like this with big stars happen at this place more than you think.
Mm-hmm.
But when people go here in Rochester, are we going for artistic reasons?
Yeah.
Or because, hey, that's a famous person right there. You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5, WCMF, Academy Award-winning actress Helen Hunt is coming to Kodak Hall for a screening of her famous film, Twister.
Man.
Yep. The film, which also stars Rochester native Philip Seymour Hoffman, it'll be on October 29th. And, Kim, you'd assume this is happening thanks to the remake, bringing back interest in the original.
Okay. Yeah, I would think so.
Right. That's one of the biggest movies in the country.
She's huge.
Right now.
I mean, she's been in a lot of great movies.
Academy Award winning. Yeah. What did she win the Academy Award for?
Is it the one she did with Jack Nicholson?
Where Twister 2? You can't handle the twist?
Twist again like we did last summer? I think it's the one she did with Jack Nicholson where he was like a real jerk.
Oh, yeah. That
as
really
good
narrows
as it gets.
It good as it gets? Is that what it was?
Did you see
the Jack Nicholson movie where he was a real jerk?
Yes.
Which one was that?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it says she won the Academy Award for Best Actress for starring as a single mother in the romantic comedy film As Good As It Gets.
Yes. You nailed it. Good job.
All right.
Okay, so not only will she be in the building for the screening, she's also doing a Q&A, an interview afterwards, and sharing behind-the-scenes stories from the movie. Tickets go on sale this week if you want to go check it out. Tommy, is Helen Hunt famous enough to get Rochesterians out to the Eastman House for this event?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a big name.
Because we've showed up bigger for smaller.
Yes.
John Lithgow, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
So, for those who may not know, this is a common event at the Eastman. They show classic films, and they fly in the stars, and sometimes the directors, and they talk about making them, the experience they've had since. And if you're a film buff, it's a really cool experience. But to the folks that go to these events, are you going because you have an opportunity to hear an artist discuss their craft? Or are you going only to be in the same room as a celebrity?
Because those are two different types of people.
Very much so.
So you got smug film guys.
Okay, they're not all smug. I hate when you do this.
Not that. A good smug.
What's a good smug?
A good smug.
A gug?
Yes. And then you got, you know, star effers that show up too. Stargazers.
Okay.
But I think there's kind of a hybrid smug stargazer.
Smug effers?
Yeah.
Wait, what does that person look like? Those two things can't. You can't be smug and a star effer at the same time.
You kind of can, but you pass it off like you're an intelligentsia.
Okay, no, let me put it this way. Right. For the folks that are like into film and find these interesting, it wouldn't matter who was coming to the Eastman because you would want to just hear an
artist.
You go
to all of it.
Yeah, discuss their craft. And I also get that there are people that are straight up Helen Hunt fans and want to go see Helen Hunt. The people I'm talking about are the folks that are not particularly a Helen Hunt fan. Like, you don't like, you know, she's good in things, but you don't, like, love Helen Hunt. And the people that aren't film buffs, folks that are saying, ooh, I know who that person is.
Yeah.
I want to go sit there and watch.
Because they're name droppers. They want to go so they can say that they were there and they met Helen Hunt. They'll take the selfie with her if they can.
Yeah.
And that'll be their screen save. You know what I mean? They're that person. And we know a million of these guys that do this stuff.
Okay.
That show up for everything.
You're so cool, man. Like, you don't even get swept up in the celebrity stuff, man. Like, look, you're above it all, man.
You're the same guy.
No, I'll go to meet famous people that I like.
Not Buffalo Bills. Just like, just regular famous people.
Yeah.
That you have very little interest in. Because I've said sometimes if so-and-so is down the hall, I go see him and you kill me for it.
No, yeah, but that's O.J. Simpson. He murdered people.
He's also a big name.
Yeah, in the murder game.
And in the Hall of Fame game.
Kimmy, are you someone that is drawn to an event like this because Helen Hunt, somebody famous, is there?
No, I'm probably not like going on my way. Or if there's like a cost involved with it, I'm probably out. You know what I mean?
If they're trying to make money for their facility or business.
Save the Children
Foundation.
to something like this. Like, unless I really loved the movie and it was just like, you know, a part of my life in some way, maybe then I'd be more interested. But for something like this, like, it was cool at the time. I don't know if, like, I'm a big enough Twister fan and Helen Hunt fan combined to want to go out of my way to do this.
I would think you'd be a Helen Hunt fan, bitch, because you kind of look like Helen Hunt.
I look like Helen Hunt?
A little bit.
What do you mean by that?
She looks like Helen. You don't think she looks a little bit like Helen?
I've never, ever been told that I look like Helen Hunt.
I mean, she's not like your traditional movie star.
What do you mean by that?
She's more of an everyday person.
She's plain looking.
Yes. Yes. Dressed down. She's not Flash.
I don't know why you're looking at me like you expect me to be like, oh, thank you.
I just said you look like a movie star.
Thank you, kind sir.
I just said you look like a movie star. That's bad?
It was just a weird comment.
252 WC.
Like, you could relate to her. Like,
do you find Helen Hunt attractive?
Good luck answering this one.
I know. Look what you did.
Hey, look, back myself into a corner. Checkmate, bitch.
You made your bed.
I will say, when she was with Paul Reiser, she was attractive.
Okay, Kimmy doesn't know who that is.
I saw her recently in something, and she looked really good.
Yeah, I mean, she goes
either
way.
So you find Kimmy attractive?
Not yet. But who knows?
252
Maybe we'll have a windstorm today.
252-9263. Helen Hunt is coming to the Eastman to screen her film Twister, the original one.
And by the way, it's probably her weakest role.
I thought she was great in that.
I know, but it's like it's more like anybody could have played that role.
Oh,
I
mean, my God. How are you taking shots for no reason? She's got an emotional arc. Her dad was killed by the tornado.
Where's his award? He gets sucked out the window. No, I'm saying like...
Yeah, but you'd have to award every guy that ever hung out with your mom. A lot of dudes getting sucked out the window while your mom's there. They called her the Tallahassee Twister. You were saying, I'm sorry.
I don't know what you're saying.
No, you don't know what you're saying.
No, I'm saying like of her body of work. That's not her greatest work.
What's her greatest?
I would say the one she did with Jack. It was an emotional range. And she's played other like...
No, you know, these smug movie guys. Let me tell you about Helen Hunt's emotional range. Prick.
She's played alcoholics, vulnerable women.
Sure.
I mean, this was basically a summer disaster movie where you could have put anybody in there.
Okay, I'm going to go back to this thing here, because you just said that, you know, with these celebrities that show up, the actors and the directors, that, like, you know, you're above that, right? You're not in the
celebrity. I'm not a name drop. Ask Wheez.
Is there a living actor that could get you down to the Eastman to buy a ticket to watch one of their movies?
Oh, yeah, some of the epic guys.
Give me one.
Sure. Well, Mike. Clint. Gene Hackman.
So you would sit and watch Clint Eastwood watch his own movie.
Oh, yeah. Gene Hackman is another
Gene
one.
Gene Hackman?
Yeah, I mean, guys that will fall asleep watching their own movies.
Right,
well, they would have to be older cats.
Superman 3, Gene Hackman's here.
I got another one.
Okay, go ahead.
He's more of a cartoon, but Arnold.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Okay, he could be entertaining. But I would worry, super like, with those guys that you just mentioned, mm-hmm. some of them you haven't seen in so long. Ooh. I don't know what you're going to get out of a Q&A.
Yeah. They're ancient, yeah.
It may not be as exciting as you think it's going to be. I'm sure you're in a room with, like, a living legend, that's pretty much what you're getting.
But that's what I'm trying to think of, like, guys of that stature that have that greatest body of work who's still around.
Okay, I thought you were talking about Arnold with the greatest body there for a second. No, but you just said
he's still pretty in good shape, bro.
You killed star effers.
Mm-hmm.
And then you admitted that you're not going to hear Clint or Gene Hackman or Arnold Schwarzenegger talk. You don't care about their answers. You just want to be in the same room with them,
yes.
Which makes you a star effer.
Yeah, but I'm top shelf. I mean, you can't get bigger than those guys. And to my feeling, mm-hmm. you're never going to see that level of star ever again.
Okay. I love how other stars don't matter to you, therefore they're not at the same level.
No, I mean, listen, there's great guys out there. I don't think they got the hang time of a Gene Hackman.
You keep saying Gene Hackman. I get Clint Eastwood, fine. I get Arnold Schwarzenegger, fine. Gene Hackman.
But Gene Hackman probably is one of our greatest American actors.
Kimmy, name the best movie Gene Hackman was ever in. Can you name a movie?
Yes, I'm trying to think of the last thing I saw.
Hackman Ridge. That he was just in.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah.
Mike, I'm totally blanking on a Gene Hackman movie.
Remember that one where he played basketball?
Remember the one with the gun?
What was that? Hakeel O'Neal?
Yeah. You don't remember Hoosier?
Oh, okay.
Hoosiers. You can't even say the name of it. What is with you adding S's where they don't belong and taking S's where they are?
I'm so dumb.
You know
what
the problem is? There's just not one that stands out to me, and maybe it's because I'm, you know, I
the French connection.
Yeah, she doesn't know what the French connection is.
Oh my god. All
right. Yep. By the way, how old is Gina?
Oh, he's 90. I think he's 93.
Have you seen a picture of him lately?
He looks really bad. But he's 94.
Yeah.
He lives in New Mexico.
Okay, now I'm getting freaked out.
What?
You got so much Gene Hackman.
He's 94. He lives in New Mexico, and he goes out to lunch once a week. And apparently the New York Post hangs out and takes pictures of him.
I'm worried for you.
I follow the New York Post, like all old people. It's the New York Times for dumb people.
Can't argue that, man. I get a lot of stories from the Post.
They're the best.
Like when it comes to, you know, Helen Hunt coming to town, she's going to watch Twister. You know, it's the watch a movie. They screen the movie in a Q&A. Do you think the actors and directors watch the movies with everyone else while it's on in the theater?
Well, I thought they sit there.
Well, they're not on stage. They usually bring them out on stage after.
Oh, I figured they were just sitting in the audience in front row or something.
Yeah, I bet you they watch their own like private screening of it first.
How many times do you think Helen Hunt has seen Twister?
Probably. She may have never seen it.
Well, yeah. Do you think actors watch back the movies they were in, like, for fun? Because I know you probably watch a screening of it after it's done. You go to the premiere and watch it there.
But I bet you after that, you're done with it. Because you don't forget, you're going on to other projects. Yeah. It isn't like that's the only thing she's ever done. And to your point, I bet you some of them don't want to watch themselves because they probably start, I should have done this differently. You'll start, like, picking apart the film you did.
There have to be.
I always assume that people have a tough, like, especially like artists like that, they have a tough time looking at their own work because they have an idea of like what they thought it was going to be in their head, and maybe it's different when it's, you know, put into production. I don't know. Like, I think unless there was something they were really, really proud of, that's like their highlight, I don't know how often they watch all their stuff.
And I always wondered, you know how it's like federal law that Shawshank Redemption has to be on TV at all times in the United States, right? Do you think like Morgan Freeman?
They stop and watch it.
Yeah, like he's, because everybody stops and watches the Shawshank Redemption. Everybody stops. Does Morgan Freeman watch it from when the guy hung himself and then to the end?
Yeah.
Maybe you get to an age too where you like to see yourself as a younger person.
It also bum you out.
Yeah.
Look at all that hair I had.
I mean, if we're being real, what people really want from these things, outside of an autograph or a picture, is dirt on other people in the business, because they sell it as Q&A, behind-the-scenes stories,
but they're never
going
to say anything.
I mean, some actors do. I mean, like someone like Helen Hunt, and I've said Helen Hunt so many times, it's lost all meaning. Mm. Say that name over and over again, it doesn't feel like words anymore.
Right. She's one of the surviving members of that cast. Because didn't Bill... What?
Nothing. We were having so much fun.
I was thinking... Well, you were asking, like, would you talk about stories and, like, who's she going to upset?
Is Bill Pullman, right?
Yeah, he passed away.
He did?
Yeah, he got sucked up by that Twister.
That was him? The guy with the gun? All right, so he's one of the few guys. So she's left.
Remember that fun we were having until Kimmy pointed out that everybody, including a Rochester native who was in that movie, have passed away?
Well, those are going to be if she's going to get any questions, she's going to be what
Bill
it was
Pullman.
Like.
Bill Pullman, no, you're thinking of.
Gary Coleman?
No. No, Bill Pullman wasn't in Twister.
Who was it?
It's the other guy that.
Bill Pushman.
No.
But she's going to get
Paxton.
A bunch.
Bill Paxton. I was close. I was closer with Pushman.
So she's going to get a bunch of Fillmore Seymour Hoppin questions because he's a native and he also won an award.
Absolutely. But she's not going to crab. Well, there's nothing to. Well, you know what I'm saying? What I was getting at is like if you go and see somebody, you want to hear them say something bad about their co-star or the director or like their director talk about someone who's being dramatic, right? Like unless you're a diehard Helen Hunt fan, you want to walk away with a little dirt because that's the most entertaining stuff about Hollywood. Right. Fair?
Yeah.
And I wonder if these artists know that, because I'm sure they get paid to come to these.
Yeah, play to the audience a little bit.
Exactly. Like, you know, you want them to keep coming back or be booked for another one of those, so give me a little dirt that I just made up, and I'll act it out, because that's what I do for a living.
She doesn't seem like that type, though.
You know nothing about Helen Hunt.
I know. But based on her, she's never been in the tabloids or anything. She's never done anything bad that I can think of.
I hear it's because she's so plain-looking.
Probably. She's plain Jane.
I would worry going to something like this if I'm a fan that person's only going to get ruined for me. Because don't know, like, do they want to be here? Are they going to act like they're excited to be here? Because they're probably not.
Okay.
And if they're not, like, what is it happy and go lucky as you think they're going to be? Is it going to ruin that actor or actress for you?
I'm going to say something that's going to sound mean, but I don't mean it to be mean.
Yeah.
All right, if you were to bring in someone like a Clint Eastwood, you're right. That guy probably doesn't want to be here. He's going to sit in a theater full of people. He's going to collect a check and go home because Clint Eastwood is a living legend who people just revere, right? Helen Hunt won an Oscar.
Yeah.
Very talented actress. I want to know how many people stop Helen Hunt on a daily basis while she's walking around and go, oh my God, I love you so much.
She could fly under the radar.
So, like, to be in a theater full of people that paid money to appreciate her art, that's got to be flattering.
Okay.
And I would guess an actress of Helen Hunt's level, see, that sounds bad. I don't mean it to sound the way I'm sounding. I don't know how to make it less harsh, but I'm trying to make a point that sounds really
good. You ain't Clint, baby, and you never will be. Any other questions?
All right, let's take a break. We can all agree this is kind of a stupid thing. And I know people get offended by that because there are folks, we work hard to make this. No, it's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
We just don't need this thing. That being said, there must be people that go just to see this because every year there is an insane amount of coverage of when it's coming, what the first day will be it's open, and what it will be. The butter has arrived.
What?
For the New York State Fair. Butter sculpture. No word on what the butter will be shaped into.
Well, that's top
secret. It's always a big reveal.
It is.
Yeah, Hochul don't even know.
Yeah, but statewide, we are all waiting with bated breath. Quick sidebar, you brought that up.
Right.
Do you think if the governor, the person who runs the state of New York,
secret.
Wanted to know what the butter sculpture was going to be, that they'd tell her?
You'd have to, man.
I don't know. I mean,
if there's one person you're going to butter up, it's the governor.
Folks. So this story of what the butter sculpture will be and when it will debut is covered thoroughly every year. There will be a minimum of three more stories about it before they actually reveal the butter sculpture.
They just showed them bringing the butter in undercover. I'm not kidding you. Off the truck, undercover, and then like them like putting it in that case wherever they're going to do the
sculpture. Is there like a special team that does that every year? Like,
are you talking about Butter Force One?
Is that your sole job? To do the sculpture.
Well, okay, no, we know. Remember we found out last year, because this is how much it gets talked about. Every year we talk about the butter sculpture, that the sculptor was not a New York native. Wasn't he from Pennsylvania?
Something, Probably, he's from out of state.
You couldn't find anybody in New York that knew how to sculpt butter? And like this guy who sculpts butter sculptures, he does these for state fairs across the country, so he's not even exclusive to New York State, which kind of felt like I was robbed.
Right?
Give me a good old New York set of hands sculpting my butter sculpture. So, Tommy, despite the fact that this is pointless is too harsh a word.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying pointless. Right.
Unnecessary?
No. Okay, unnecessary is fair. There must be people that go to the state fair just for the butter sculpture based on what a big deal it is every year leading up to
the butter sculpture. Wait, you're saying just for this for the butter sculpture? Like, they could care less about all the other fun stuff going on at the fair.
Well, that's a bonus, but they're mainly going for the butter sculpture.
That's a sad butter person.
I'm a butter person? A sad butter ball?
Yeah.
I mean,
it really is.
Maybe it's a family tradition, like one of those things where everybody takes a picture in front of the butter sculpture. Maybe you're a family that, you know, has
people go
roots.
And look at Christmas, like a Christmas tree, right?
Yeah, but Christmas trees dazzle you. It's a festival
it's
time
just
of the
a tree
year.
With
like,
the
there's
lights.
Like. There's all that
more work probably goes into the butter sculpture.
That's but I'm just thinking, like, at the fair, all that good food, all the excitement, the razzle dazzle. I got to go into a room and look at a dairy product.
I love how you call it razzle dazzle. It is a state fair. I wouldn't say that there's razzle and dazzle. Maybe dazzle.
There's always razzle dazzle on the Midway.
What's a razzle dazzle?
Yeah, and all the bells, the lights, the people, the excitement, the food.
Like, the butter sculpture gets more coverage than the shows that they put out on the New York State Fair. Mm-hmm. And the concerts that they do are phenomenal.
Yeah, they bring in big name talent every year.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're free with admission to the fair, which is only like $8.
Yeah.
Right? So like you can go see legitimate living musician legends that are performing for you if you just wander over where they're playing in the, you know, whatever, Chevy, whatever, center court.
Yeah.
But five stories of the butter sculpture. Five butter sculpture stories. And here's the thing, man. It's working because I kind of want to go see the butter sculpture.
All right.
I hate it so much that I want to be a part of it.
I guess, it must get slammed with people just passing through and wanting to look at it.
I mean, if I was there, I'd want to go look at it for sure. I'm not passing on the butter sculpture if I'm there.
But so you would make it a point to go see the butter sculpture?
Yeah, I've never seen the butter sculpture.
All right, so it worked.
Like, I think it's one of those things where I think, well, that's lame, and then I go like, wow, that's a pretty cool butter sculpture. Cool.
Well, no, like, you, here's the thing. You're making fun now.
Yeah.
Right? You would go see it.
Yes,
you would then start telling your wife facts that you heard from us when we're talking about the
and
butter
sculpture.
And then
say other things you've seen in your travels across the country. Well, one time I saw a giant ball of yarn.
All right, so here is your heads up.
Yeah, what do you do?
Get ready to go see the butter sculpture. Get
butter up, buddy.
Buy your tickets.
Do you have a butter buddy to go with?
Ooh, a buddy. Would you want to be my butter buddy?
I don't think so. No. It's a pretty long ride.
We can all agree this is kind of a stupid thing. And I know people get offended by that because there are folks, we work hard to make this. No, it's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
We just don't need this thing. That being said, there must be people that go just to see this because every year there is an insane amount of coverage of when it's coming, what the first day will be it's open, and what it will be. The butter has arrived.
What?
For the New York State Fair. Butter sculpture. No word on what the butter will be shaped into.
Well, that's top secret.
It's always a big reveal.
It is.
Yeah, Hochul don't even know.
Yeah, but statewide, we are all waiting with bated breath. Mm. Quick sidebar, you brought that up.
Right.
Do you think if the governor, the person who runs the state of New York,
secret.
Wanted to know what the butter sculpture was going to be, that they'd tell her?
You'd have to, man.
I don't know. I mean,
if there's one person you're going to butter up, it's the governor.
Folks. So this story of what the butter sculpture will be and when it will debut is covered thoroughly every year. There will be a minimum of three more stories about it before they actually reveal the butter sculpture.
They just showed them bringing the butter in undercover. I'm not kidding you. Off the truck, undercover, and then like them like putting it in that case wherever they're going to do the
sculpture. Is there like a special team that does that every year? Like,
are you talking about Butter Force One?
Is that your sole job? To do the sculpture.
Well, okay, no, we know. Remember we found out last year, because this is how much it gets talked about. Every year we talk about the butter sculpture, that the sculptor was not a New York native. Wasn't he from Pennsylvania?
Something, probably. Yeah, he's from out of state.
You couldn't find anybody in New York that knew how to sculpt butter? And like this guy who sculpts butter sculptures, he does these for state fairs across the country, so he's not even exclusive to New York State, which kind of felt like I was robbed.
Oh, all right.
Right? Give me a good old New York set of hands sculpting my butter sculpture. So, Tommy, despite the fact that this is pointless is too harsh a word.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying pointless. Right.
Unnecessary?
No. Okay, unnecessary is fair. Mm. There must be people that go to the state fair just for the butter sculpture based on what a big deal it is every year leading up to
Wait,
the butter
you're
sculpture.
Saying just for this for the butter sculpture? Like, they can care less about all the other fun stuff going on at the fair.
Well, that's a bonus, but they're mainly going for the butter sculpture.
That's a sad butter person.
A butter person? A sad butter ball?
Yeah.
I mean,
it really is.
Maybe it's a family tradition, like one of those things where everybody takes a picture in front of the butter sculpture. Maybe you're a family that, you know, has
people go
roots.
And look at Christmas, like a Christmas tree, right?
Yeah, but Christmas trees dazzle you. It's a festival
it's
time
just
of the
a tree
year.
With
like,
the
there's lights. Like. There's all that good,
more work probably goes into the butter sculpture.
That's but I'm just point. Thinking, like, you're at the fair, all that good food, all the excitement, the razzle dazzle. I got to go into a room and look at a dairy product.
I love how you call it razzle dazzle. It is a state fair. I wouldn't say that there's razzle and dazzle. Maybe dazzle.
There's always razzle dazzle on the Midway.
What's a razzle dazzle?
Yeah, and all the bells, the lights, the people, the excitement, the food.
Like the butter sculpture. Gets more coverage than the shows that they put out on the New York State Fair. Mm-hmm. And the concerts that they do are phenomenal.
Yeah, they bring in big name talent every year.
And if I'm not mistaken, they're free with admission to the fair, which is only like $8.
Yeah.
Right? So like you can go see legitimate living musician legends that are performing for you if you just wander over where they're playing in the, you know, whatever, Chevy, whatever, center court.
Yeah.
But five stories of the butter sculpture. Five butter sculpture stories. And here's the thing, man. It's working because I kind of want to go see the butter sculpture.
All right.
I hate it so much that I want to be a part of it.
I get, I mean, it must get slammed with people just passing through and wanting to look at it.
I mean, if I was there, I'd want to go look at it for sure. I'm not passing on the butter sculpture if I'm there.
But so you would make it a point to go see the butter sculpture?
Yeah, I've never seen the butter sculpture.
All right, so it worked.
Like, I think it's one of those things where I think, well, that's lame, and then I go like, wow, that's a pretty cool butter sculpture.
Cool.
Well, no, like, you, here's the thing. You're making fun now.
Yeah.
Right? You would go see it.
Yes,
you would then start telling your wife facts that you heard from us when we're talking about the
and
butter
sculpture.
And then
say other things you've seen in your travels across the country. Well, one time I saw a giant ball of yarn.
All right, so here is your heads up.
Yeah, what do you do?
Get ready to go see the butter sculpture.
Get butter up, buddy.
Buy your tickets.
Do you have a butter buddy to go with?
Ooh, a buddy. Would you? You want to be my butter buddy?
I don't think so. No. It's a pretty long ride.